Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 131. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim, Casino Royale Elliot.
I'm here playing Baccarat, as usual.
Graham, Dr. Evil Thickens.
Hello there.
And Phil, where's my mojo, Wilson?
My mojo. Groovy, baby.
I really miss those movies. Those were so fun. So incredibly, yeah, the Austin Powers
then
movies.
Then he had to follow it up with that Love Guru crap.
It was lame. Oh, well.
Very nice, Steve. Very nice. And what's the deal with the music in the background?
Very funny.
We decided we're just going to leave it up for the whole cast now.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, there we go. All right. See, it fades out like on its own.
It's kind of like being at a dinner party, you know? Yeah. Sounded like the old Playboy Playhouse show.
Yeah. That was the intent. That was the intent.
Yeah. Oh, here's Miles Davis over here.
Hi, Miles.
Huh? Yeah.
You know, some of those are actually available online. And if no one's ever seen Hugh Hefner doing his thing at that Playboy show, and was that in the early 60s or something? It's just an absolute hoot to watch these. He was cool.
Walking around his apartment with all his throw pillows.
And it wasn't his apartment. It was his fake apartment.
It was his fake apartment.
Yeah.
His fake apartment.
Oh, man.
I love it.
Well, hey, let's talk about the big stories this week. The Google Plus thing accelerating. There's a guy that did an announcement about 10 million users is what his estimate was, and Google just confirmed that. That seems like an incredible number of users in what, 10 days?
Yeah.
What do you guys think? I mean, have you guys spent more time on Google Plus or Facebook in the last week?
Google Plus.
Now, why do you figure you spend more time on Google Plus than Facebook or Twitter or any of those things?
It's a new thing.
It's the new thing. Okay, so do you find that it's connecting you with the people that you want to be connected with? And are you finding it to be something that you feel you can't live without now?
I'm finding that I'm connecting with everybody that I connected to on Twitter in 2007.
Oh, how funny is that?
The early adopters.
And it's awesome because those are the only people that are there. So there's great conversations. It's great. It's just like Twitter was, you know, 5 years ago.
See, that's how I feel too. It's like it's as though it was this small club at the beginning. And yet you're not constrained by 140 characters. So the posts are richer and there's more going on. But the big thing that I like about it is that the things that it connects to are for the most part public.
Okay. So the whole vibe for you guys is that it's that new thing, and it's a little bit more, it's giving you a chance to start over and sort of clean out your streams and that sort of thing. Is that pretty much what you're looking at?
I think
it's a really interesting take on social networking.
So do you see this as something that's going to replace Facebook, or is it the next Facebook? Or I know we're going to talk about this in gang mentality a little bit, but let's just talk about it here for right now. But because I look at a Google Plus and I think it's I like the interface and I like the options it gives you, but I feel like, hey, wait a minute, I'm starting all over. And like you said, I'm talking to a bunch of early adopters, a bunch of social media geeks, which is, I say that in a good way, but I'm not necessarily talking to real people again. So yes, it's very much like Twitter to me.
Well, not yet, but it is more like Twitter than Facebook, I think. And I think that Twitter, it will more likely replace Twitter than it will Facebook. And I could see that Facebook and Google Plus will sort of... be a one and two. And I don't see Google Plus overtaking Facebook, really. They've just got too much of a lead. But I could see Google Plus in a year being 250 million, 300 million users.
Too. Well, and where I think it gets really, really interesting is they haven't yet rolled it out for Google Apps. And what I think about is the ability to use this for collaboration So imagine, you know, you got a company circle and you've got a team circle and all of that. And then now you can go have a hangout with mm-hmm. just that circle. Mm-hmm. That's where I think it gets really interesting. The only concern that I have is how many people that I know that I've been following or have been following me that are jumping on Google Chrome extensions. And I did a whole mm-hmm. post about it on my own blog about how, you know, these extensions, just open up your browser to just about everything, all your apps, your bookmarks, your browsing history, all the data that you've got on your websites, the cookies that you have set so they can grab your Facebook session cookie if they wanted to. Not that they will, but I think they're it's NPAPI, the NPAPI plugins. I don't know how you pronounce it, but those are the ones that are, I think, really dangerous. And the problem is everybody, including me, I'm sure you have too, Tim, are looking at, okay, now I have yet another place I've got to pay attention to and check. I'd like to aggregate this stuff all together, which was the whole point to TweetDeck and Seismic and all these others, Hootsuite, and everybody's struggling to do the same thing with Google Plus.
Well, what I think Google Plus is trying to do, though, is to become that aggregated feed rather than, you know, they're like the TweetDeck because they want everything to really kind of go through that channel. And, yeah. You know, I think, you know, I think Graham, you had talked about social media overload. You had
I'm definitely the contrarian of the bunch. I stand here happily admitting I haven't even done a thing on Google Plus because I've been too busy with other things, including all my other social networks. And
well, and, you know, and so that's just, and I think you bring up a very good point there, Graham, yeah. because that's the point. It's okay. We already know that the internet is one big mofo to tame because there's so much information out there. How many, you know, it becomes complicated with how many ways can you tame the beast? And Google Plus is another, I think, a good way to tame the beast, but it's yet another way to tame the beast. Yeah. And it's like, well, now wait a minute. There's Hootsuite and TweetDeck, and now there's Google Plus, and then there's my Twitter feed, my Facebook feed, and Facebook's got Skype video interaction. It's got places. It's got all of this stuff put together. Yeah, I mean, it still comes down to this. I still think for real people, the only thing that matters is Facebook right now. And when I say real people, I mean people beyond the social media folks. I mean, it's Facebook.
Like my sister.
It's all about Facebook. Yeah. Why does she need Google Plus? Yeah, why does she need Google Plus?
She doesn't. Well, let's talk about more about this on the gang mentality, because there's some other aspects to it that we can jump up to a 40,000 foot view and take a look at. But the thing that really interested me this morning was Google blows out their quarter. I mean, they really, mm-hmm. really did well. And stock jumps and so on. And I'll put a link in the show notes. But, you know, a lot of people have looked at Larry Page and said, you know, Google Plus wouldn't have existed if he had not been CEO. That he was the one who, you know, he's really driving innovation and trying to speed things up. And it certainly from the outside appears to be that. And I don't know if that necessarily did anything for their last quarter, but.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so, but that's sure getting them a lot of buzz lately, but.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. Their revenues were up 32%, and It's funny, now their stock is doing well, but I just saw an item a couple of days ago where Morgan Stanley downgraded it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like, well, wait a minute. You know, Wall Street can't seem to decide where this stock is going, but
But do you find yourself surprised that somebody's trying to manipulate the market?
I don't know. Yeah, it's who knows what's going on, but
I'm sure
Morgan
Stanley will suggest downgrading, and then they'll buy up a shitload of shares, and then
maybe
probably.
But, but Page, I mean, it's got to be feeling his oats now and feeling like, wow, this CEO thing. This is fun,
it's fun as long as you're growing.
Yeah, right. In the meantime, Schmidt's being subpoenaed or whatever to testify you know, in Congress, isn't he? Or what is that all about anyway? I can't keep up on
it
all.
Sure.
But
I'm
he's
not sure.
As their chairman now, he's the one that's got to go to Washington and fight the antitrust stuff, I guess.
Yeah. Well, hey, another big thing that happened this week was the buzz about the upcoming Amazon tablet. And I know, Tim, you put something in your Google Plus post about a new price point for a tablet.
Now you got to start referencing it. There you go.
Well, I am, but,
hey, you're right. It's a public post, so anyone could see it. You don't have to be on Google Plus.
Yeah. But, it's his blog post. But you talked about that particular. Why don't you just talk about that for a second? But this Amazon thing, this Amazon tablet, everyone's sort of scratching their head on why. But if you look at the fact that wait a minute, they've got digital movies, digital music, they've got ebooks. It sure seems like a smart play to me.
Well, Bezos has said that they are working on an Android tablet. They have a number of Android apps right now. They have their own app store. They have all the media, so it's clear that they're going to do something there. One of their big competitors in the book space, Barnes & Noble, has been selling their Nook Color for about a year now, and it's been very successful as both a color e-reader and as a sort of a low-end tablet. And
number one e-reader last month.
Yeah, and that is, what, $250?
Right.
So that tells me that, you know, people are, you know, willing to spend that amount of money or less on a tablet. So Amazon's got to come in at about $300 for something that's like an iPad to really have any shot at this. Although they do have a lot of content, a lot of apps, and if they develop their own version of Android or their own skin on top of Android, like Barnes & Noble has done, to control the user experience and to smooth it out, they'll have a pretty good shot.
Well,
so we'll see.
Yeah.
But it's pricing is the key thing. And everything that I've seen, I put a note from a Bits blog post that Nick Bilton did, I think, about the Amazon tablet and how it has to be low cost.
It has to be the price. Yep.
Yeah. Well, and they're apparently doing everything to keep costs down, like keeping cameras off and other things. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah.
But it's a pricing thing. I don't think if they released even if it was as good as an iPad for $500, I don't think they would have a really great shot at selling a lot of them.
Okay. All right.
Because Android just doesn't have the apps.
Yeah. Well, what about, so Graham, you know, we went and met with the guys from T-Mobile, the VP and GM for this region, and the marketing fellow from Chicago about their new 4G, HSPA 4G rollout in the Twin Cities, and which is a major jump forward for them here. And this is maybe a segue into our guest today, but it's all about data, right? Instead of voice.
Yeah, what did they say? A 330% increase in data traffic in the Twin Cities for them in the last year. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's a huge jump forward, and so now we have them. We have the Verizon rollout, and then we have rumored AT&T doing it here in the Twin Cities, and so I keep thinking about how challenging it was even a year ago to find Wi-Fi in different places. You'd have to go to a specific coffee shop and so on. But now, not only is that everywhere, but geez, the mobile networks are actually really fast.
Oh yeah. Do you have any feel for how, well, Steve, you probably do. How does the T-Mobile 4G network compare to Verizon speed-wise? Have you looked at that or
No, of course, I haven't. There's
theoretical statements of what you can get, and then there's the reality, which I touched on in the blog post I did after our meeting with them. They say it's 42, but then they say the first device available you can get peak speeds to 27.
Yeah, yeah.
But in reality, you're going to experience about 10. You know.
Well, and see the big thing about data is that you don't really notice the latency. So if there's a lot of people queued up, or there's a lot of packets queued up to go to all these different devices, you know, if it takes another 100 milliseconds, you're not really going to notice it. But you will notice it on a voice call. You know, if all of a sudden, you know, you're going to notice that kind of dropout, right? And so it's all about the throughput. And that's kind of what they were talking about the 27 megabit per second down is the throughput from this 42 megabit per second speed. But then, you know, they always qualify by talking about, well, it depends on where you are and depends on how close you are to the tower and, you know, whether you had onions on your cheeseburger for lunch and you know, stuff like that. So it's just
my experience though with T-Mobile since I use them is that it's pretty well built out. I get HSPA here in Lakeville.
Uh-huh.
And the speeds are pretty good. I mean, in comparison with 3G, I mean, it's noticeably faster.
Really?
No. Yeah.
I don't have the Plus, which is the next version. My son does, but I don't. I just have the older version, which is a little bit faster than 3G.
Yeah, the new ones, the 42s, are not out yet.
The smartphones aren't for that. But they do have that, what do they call it, that laptop stick.
Right. Yeah, and you know the problem is too is, you know, you brought it up, Graham, originally about the confusion in the consumer market about speeds and how so many people with iPhone 4s think they have a 4G phone and that they're on 4G networks, and the same thing happens to be true with various Android-based smartphones. And I know that it's like, okay, so now you got 4G and then you got 4G plus. It's just incredibly confusing. I mean, it's even confusing for me, and I kind of feel like, geez, I kind of know what's going on.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, if it's confusing for you, imagine what it is for the majority of Facebook users.
Oh my gosh.
I think that 4G is more of a marketing term than it is a technical term.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because
it is faster than 3G, so you have to come up with something. What do you call it, 3G plus, or whatever. So there, people have started to use the term 4G, even though it's not technically a 4G technology.
Yeah,
right.
Except for Verizon, who is using a 4G technology, but in the current implementation, it's not 4G, technically speaking, either. their LTE network, which will be 4G, but is not right now.
Yeah.
So it is causing a lot of confusion.
Yeah,
it is. And one quote that I didn't use in the blog post from Tim Adams, GM of Minnesota, Wisconsin, T-Mobile, was that he said they're heading towards having LTE-like speeds in 98% of the U.S. So when that is exactly, I don't know, but yeah, the marketing maneuvering that these carriers do between each other, trying to one outdo the other, is very hard to keep up with.
All right, all I want to know is if they have signal on this mountaintop wind farm area in Wyoming that I was in. if they're saturating that, that's great, because there was nothing up there.
Probably only get edge at that point.
Not even that. Oh, there were just some antelope walking around. But hey, Phil, why don't you tell us about our guest today, and then let's bring him on.
Oh, really? I get to do that?
You do.
I'm so excited. Very cool. Joseph Reuter, who we know is an entrepreneur of the highest caliber here in Minneapolis, spent time with Hello Viking and did a lot of other things. What are some of the things that he's done? He's
Extender.
He's done Extender. He did, what was the blog aggregator or the aggregation tool that we had?
Curation Station.
Yep. Has also moved on to, rolled out a mobile app what is it? Didn't it used to be called Show Me My Deals or Bring Me My Deals?
Locate My Deal.
Locate My Deal. That's it.
Now so it's Deals By.
It's Deals By. He's got that relaunched. So we're going to talk to Joseph, find out what's going on with that, but also find out what else he's working on, because we know he's not just working on one thing.
Let's hope not. So let's hope not.
Well, last I heard he was working about half his time at Best Buy, too. So the guy is a busy dude.
Wow.
There you go.
Joseph, it's the gang. Steve, Tim, Graham, and Phil.
Hi, Joseph. Yo, greetings.
Yo, Joe. How you doing?
Oh, really, really well.
Busy, huh?
Oh, busy. It's been fantastic.
That's great.
Fantastic.
Hey, we were listing your accomplishments, but I was going to throw in a joke about fathering a baboon, but I didn't know if that was true or not. So
I do have a new one-year-old who has learned how to walk in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Oh, and,
oh yeah, it's fantastic.
Wow.
So you got the locks on the cabinets, I hope.
Yeah.
It went the other way around. We took everything out of the lower cabinets and just put play toys in them. I don't want to tell her no all the time.
That's actually a good plan.
Go play, kid.
Interesting. Yeah, but you can load that up with expensive toys, but I tell you, they like the pots and pans a whole lot better.
Down low in a drawer. We got these low drawers, and she gets into that. Yeah.
Well, there's actually an idea.
Fantastic.
There's an idea for a new app then. Locate my stuff. Because you're gonna have it all over the place.
Stashed. Keep moving it around.
Pots and pans? I know I stuck them somewhere.
When my daughter, my daughter was young, she would always go for the lower shelves in the kitchen or wherever just to find stuff to play with. And then we put on the childproof protectors and so she couldn't open it. She would just sit there, and you know she wasn't even walking, and she would sit there and pull on the door and. Trying to get the door open. You finally have to just break down and let her get in there and just play with everything. So it's a great time. So enjoy it now because soon they'll turn 13.
Yeah. So hey, tell us about, because you know that we were all pumped about Locate My Deal and how cool it was as this layer that aggregated all.
We were giddy.
Yeah, about aggregating all the deals, and now you guys just did a repositioning and a new name change, and it's actually, you know, it's probably easier now to filter out and find deals. That's my experience. But what was behind that? What drove you guys to do that?
Sure. So the overarching goal with this thing wasn't just to have like a big index or a big database. That was the first step. But what we want to be able to do is capture and empower this behavior that is human, apparently, that we all, or most of us anyway, do when you find a deal. Is that in the real world, you can't fly across a bunch of deals. What you do is you find one, or you actually go and buy it. And then what happens is that we often, we'll be very excited to show that off, right?
Yeah.
I found this. I got a great deal. Is an amazingly uniform response among primarily a lot of ladies, right? As we're doing the kind of the research on the behavior side of what we're building for, but also for men. So getting the index was the first goal, and now we want to go towards making it super easy with the index to find deals of many types that are right by you, located by you, so that the phone does the work of telling you where you can get a deal. And after that, the goal is to find a way to share it, to make it social. And maybe even to make it social before you would have to buy it. So it'd be find, share, redeem.
Well, I'll tell you, if I could just interrupt, I'm looking at it right now, and there's got to be 70 deals near me in Eden Prairie. Now, a lot of them are there's 24 at Osaka, this Japanese restaurant up by the Best Buy store. But right. It's like, whoa.
That's a lot of deals.
There's a lot of deals on here.
Well, it looks to me like most of them are sort of coupon-y kind of things that, that retailers have put in. Do you see this as it becomes more popular and you roll out the Android app, people finding stuff, you know, on the end cap of their Target and they put it in, these limited closeout deals?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So right now there are free things that we've found that we index. There are things direct from brands like circulars, and there will be other opportunities for things direct from brands. There's also the coupon approach, which is one single approach, right, that hasn't been touched yet, but could, where you've got coupons primarily for grocery stores. That space is not quite here. And then the user-added deals, I think it's really, really exciting when it could be just as easy as finding the store that's by you, right? Here, oh, yeah, I'm at that store. You find it in the list, and then you can add by URL or by typing it in, and probably what's the most exciting is to add by a picture, right? So if you're at a happy hour and you want to add that, and there's a good reason to add it, but if you wanted to add it, you can just take a picture of it, tell us a little bit about it, and then we'll do the work on putting it in the index.
Oh, that's cool.
Are you going to also add?
Yeah, so we're really excited.
Are you going to add stuff like barcode scanning too? And QR code scanning, so you could like scan a product and get the information that way?
Possibly, yeah. So the coupons or the deals aren't often connected to the barcode or the QR code unless the retailer has done that in their database and made it public, right? So insofar as the pieces would connect and when that makes sense, absolutely.
So how close is the app to coming out?
That's a good question. So the team is finally working together on a regular basis in the same room. We've been working together on the regular basis, not in the same room. And we've seen just this week a pretty significant jump in productivity and momentum. So hopefully sooner than later, but let's say sooner. Until then, we've got an M.dot version, right? A mobile version. If you're on an Android phone, you can go just through your web browser, and you'll get a mobile version of what is also on your desktop. So we've got three interfaces right now.
Well, one of the things that I thought was cool, and obviously for a merchant, this is the whole point, is my daughter needs to rotate the tires on her SUV, and there's a place by our house that I looked at this morning that I thought only did oil changes, but they've got all these other services, including tire rotation, and there's a deal for it. So you know,
that's great. I mean, and you guys heard me tell the story about oil changes, right?
Right. About your personal story.
My personal story was that I became the empowered consumer, and that's where it was like, okay, we're gonna make this easier to share. We have to make it more about location. We have to get a ton of deals in the system, right? I mean, we're at roughly 250,000 deals, of which one of them I found and got a half off oil change because I showed it to the guy that there was a coupon across the street, the Honda dealer.
Yeah.
Which is really exciting. Our value will increase tremendously, right, as the index grows. So, yes, for businesses, I don't see any reason why they won't be able to index themselves.
Yeah, that would be huge if they could do that. Because then all of a sudden you've got all that input, and they're putting their own deals in there and so forth. So that's
right.
Huge.
And the first step, I mean, it might be a little scary for them to do everything, but the first step would just be to, like, if you've got a circular, to put that in there. We'll put a little icon on top of every location of your store in the country, and then your daily or your weekly circular is in there. That's a pretty low barrier to entry for them.
Hmm. Yeah.
So how are you getting the deals in now?
Well, the deals come from a number of different sources and different types, right? At the moment, Best Buy all the Best Buy circulars that are in there come from an API okay. that feeds that to us. So the rest of them are through a number of various means. We are attuned to not be being, you know, cowboys about it. So
have you gotten any pushback from anybody? So you know, there's obviously a lot of offerings from Living Social and Groupon and other deal sorts of sites. And you guys are doing a lot of aggregation of deals. Have you gotten any pushback from anybody on, hey, we don't like what you're doing. We don't like that you're playing this overall middleman in the whole thing.
We have not at this point. We actually do have both Groupon and Living Social in your interface, and it jumps depending upon what city you're in the country. So it'll see where you are and serve you those in that area. So we have both of those, and that set of deals from a daily deals perspective will grow in terms of the numbers of them that are in the index, right? There's like 23 of them in Minneapolis and St. Paul's area alone, like different separate deal sites. As for you know, people, if they're not interested in the deal being in the system, we have the typical DMCA takedown process.
Yeah.
If they like to just pull it, we'll pull it.
Yep.
Great. It seems, though, that there's a pretty high value to the user, right? To the human being that doesn't want five apps to figure out which deal is close to me, when they're on their mobile, you know, mobile lifestyle, you got one place to go, and hopefully the idea is that will make it, you know, compulsive, right? If you can change behavior, if you can say, I'm hungry, let's see where I can get a deal. You do the search for the deal before you walk in the door. That's a really curious kind of change in commerce that ultimately we're gunning for. We're really excited about.
Well, so here's what was really interesting, and this is again, I can't be a focus group of one, or my family can't be a small focus group, but my daughter, who's 23, she and all of her girlfriends and my wife do this all the time, where, you know, they're going to drive up to the Albertville Outlet Mall, or they're going to go to Mall of America, or they're going to go to South, whatever. They will go online first to search for deals, to see if there's any coupon, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And there was, for example, there was this, you know, 20% off deal or some deal at the Albertville Coach store. And my daughter and her girlfriends and my wife went up there, and they all bought Coach stuff. They would not have even gone if it hadn't been for the coupon. And so I know how much time, I mean, I watched this and was aware of how much time they spent online poking around, and then they had to print the coupons out and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, boy, this is just right up your alley.
You search before you go, right? And how cool would it have been that they found it, right? And if they added it to the index, and we knew, at this point you don't have, you don't need a profile to get in, but in the future, what if your profile included things like how many deals you've added, how many deals you've redeemed, how many people you've welcomed to the system, and how much money or how many deals they've redeemed, right? You can start to get to a position, and this is largely why we're really, really interested in the deals.by name, is that it could be deals.by/Phil.
Yeah.
Slash Jane. Slash.
I'm trying to think of what kind of deal I can offer.
Well, you're going to go out and you're going to find the deals, right? And you're going to say, hey, I found this. And it'll be included in the index, and everybody can see it. And as it gets redeemed, you will see yourself saving other people money.
See, we should do a deals.by/Minovate around our podcast. Of course, it's free, so we'd actually have to pay people to do it. But other than that...
Well, we're doing that now, aren't we?
Hey, Joe.
But what if you had some businesses? Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was going to ask you, how long has the app been in the App Store, and I'm interested in knowing how you're promoting it. And a broader question is, how in the world do you compete with all the noise out there about deal sites? Yeah. I mean, there are hundreds, thousands of these sites. I don't know how many apps there are, but let's back up to how long has the app been in the store and how are you promoting it?
Right. So the app has been in the store. It's been a couple of months, but it's had you've had to have an account, right? Where you went and you signed up and you had to get a username and a password. Before that, you actually had to have a special code, right? That had a unique string URL that would get you the app. And the primary reason for that was that we were in an alpha. We were just learning. We, with this release, changed the user interface quite a bit to make it easier to see multiple deals and see lots of deals and those kinds of things. So the app has only been live in the store for anybody to go and get since last Sunday night, I think.
Okay, under the new name, deals.buy.
Under the new name.
Yep.
And if you look at the majority of our ratings, they're for that, well, all of them, I think, are before that environment. And a lot of them are about not being able to get in without an invite. So that was just that was part of the invite system. The website has been up and live. We've just been trying to make sure that the thing works. We've been, how about quietly public for a couple weeks. We ran a deal with Children's Hospital, which I think is really a cool moment graphic when you've got somebody looking for a deal where they can have the opportunity to see service opportunities in their area or around them. You could go, volunteer at these places. That's my ultimate dream, just mine. I'm speaking for myself there. But for Children's, they actually partner with a bunch of different companies in town where the proceeds of certain kinds of behaviors or coupons, right, actually go to Children's. And they had, for a little while, their own unique URL that they linked to from an email where we mapped and provided information about a deal they were running with a local business. It ran for a week, and we're really happy with the results on that. So we've been quietly public and doing some of these partnerships and learning we started in October at Startup Weekend. Going forward, there are a number of different tactics and strategies, not least of which doing blogger outreach and podcast outreach like this, with just actual, boots on the ground, talking with people. And then there's a couple other ways that we're going to go about this. I think I can better answer the question about how we're growing in a crowded space in a couple months to see if our strategies are working. But we're excited that there's so much attention about this, right? Rising tide lifts all ships. Let's go get in the water.
Yep. Sounds great. Well, listen, Joseph, just a couple of things. First, so you're registered through Belarus for your URL. So hopefully that country will stay stable, right?
I knew that. Belarus.
So that'll say, hopefully that country will stay stable and that won't ever go away.
Beats Libya.
As long as we keep the name registered out 5 or 10 years. We should be fine, right? Because it propagates across all the... But we also have dealsbuy.com, which I'll reroute. So if we needed to, we could.
Yeah. Well, listen, we've talked about some of the other things that you've done, obviously, over the course of not only this conversation, but other conversations. What else are you working on, Joseph? Because you're never a guy that's working on just one thing. Is there anything else coming up?
I am personally, it's harvesting time. There's so much opportunity, right? So the barrier to entry is pretty reasonable. I mean, if you're willing to give up sleep and be a little schizophrenic about work, you can get at a number of things, right? So I think equity is equity, and I don't know that, if I was a coder, which I'm not, I think I could only do one, right? But our approach has been to build teams and and to kind of go crazy. So I'm messing around right now. I'm really curious about behavior just in general. You heard me talk about this in the coupon space. But I'm really curious about the behavior that we have around blogging or sharing or microblogging or anything that, of that sort. And you'll see a startup, right, quietly emerge. I think we're going to go for a very kind of calm approach on this one, around making it easier for experts' opinions to be shared in the index. I think it's really curious that the majority of people who would be called experts, right, PhDs at the University of Minnesota, as an example, don't, as a bulk population, blog, much less the rest of the population, right? And I think it's, I would love to see the index that we all go and search have a whole lot more expert content in there and in a niche environment. And I think it's a two-part problem. It's a content problem, which you've got to create the content, and that creation process needs to change. The behavior of that, I think, can be assisted by a product or a system. And then the distribution side. It's just not enough to know that I've got 3,000 or 7,000 people on my blog if they don't comment, right? Mm-hmm. Or even, you know, 700 people came to my blog, but none of them commented, right? I mean, it's a white box problem, which most of us didn't enjoy in college writing, right? When we had to go learn how to write. Most of us start with a white box, and I think you can solve that problem as well as solve for the motivation for wanting to do it by being pretty particular about that. So we're not sure whether to pit it. Maybe you guys could tell me if this is a good idea or not. Not sure whether to pit it against blogging or just to set it up as its own thing. And I think people are really interested in riffing. And that's probably what a lot of what you might be able to describe what you guys do, right? Get people together, toss ideas around, and really curious about what can happen to a slow hunch if you've got an environment like an edit suite where you can work on things over time. That's a whole lot more visual and less about writing. So how's that for vague?
Well, vague enough for me. I like it. But, you know, I think that it's important to kind of keep your oars in the water and trying different things. So I'm glad that you're still doing that and you're sacrificing sleep on the behalf of getting that done. So kudos to you. Listen, thank you very much for joining us today, Joseph. It was really a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and pick at your brain. So congratulations on Deals By, and hopefully it will continue to grow and make you millions of dollars.
Yeah, it looks good, Joe.
Well,
Yeah, go ahead.
Hopefully well, thank you very much, and hopefully it's something where we can save people millions of dollars and drive traffic into stores, right?
It works, man. That's great. Right.
I was going to say, I grabbed the app, and it looks real good. I've been playing with it while you were talking, so congratulations.
I'm waiting for Android.
Okay. That's great.
Android.
All right. Well, thanks, Joseph.
Thanks, Joseph.
Thank you. Guys, enjoy.
Alrighty. Take care. Bye now.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Well, listen, guys, I am going to have to hop off here. I am at the Conclave right now as we speak, so which is a broadcast conference and gearing up for another session. But also part of this conference today up in St. Louis Park that happens tomorrow, as a matter of fact, is the RAIN Summit, which is put together by Kurt Hansen, who has long been sort of a leader in radio and internet. He produces the RAIN newsletter, which is the radio and internet newsletter. Hence RAIN. So we're excited about that. You know, the one thing that I got to tell you as I walk away from the first day of the conference yesterday and prepare for this, they're spending an inordinate amount of time on social media, which is a bit concerning to me from a radio perspective, because as much as I love social media and how vitally important it is for any organization to be involved with social media, I sometimes feel like it's taking the eye off the ball of what you do. And so it's going to be interesting to see how media companies continue to integrate social media without and capitalize on it without sacrificing what they do best. So it'll be interesting to see that.
Well, you'll have to give us a recap.
I will. I'll give you a recap tomorrow and, you know, next week of, about tomorrow's session. So.
Okay. Hey, thanks for being on, buddy, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, you know, I love it. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks very much. And
say hi to Regis for us.
Yeah. All right. See you later, man.
All right. Take care.
See you, Phil.
Oh, man. So we were going to talk briefly, and now we lost one of our contrarians, but we were going to talk briefly about social stuff, and we're running into the ceiling of our time right now. But are you guys getting overwhelmed with all this stuff? I mean, trying to keep track of it and trying to, you know, maximize the amount of time that you are able to spend on.
Well, yeah, I'll jump in. I mean, you know, I've signed on and to so many social networks, you know, you start feeling guilty about not being able to spend any time on them. Yeah. I mean, I started adding up. I was going to do a blog post on this, but I haven't even had time to add up or write down or list out all the doggone social networks I'm on. But, you know, it's like you get going on something like Quora and you spend some time on it. And it's like, but I haven't had time to really give that any attention for weeks now, you know. And so you feel like
Quora at all.
Well, I don't either. It's not one of my favorites, but, and it's a real insider kind of a, you know, Silicon Valley crowd, but it's another way to blog and share blog posts or share thoughts and opinions and this, that, and the other. But, and, you know, analyze trends and this, all of these things. But you know, that would be one of just many that I've signed on to and I just haven't really used like I should be. Hashable would be another one. I mean, I registered, I was invited to it. I don't really get it or think it really clicks with what it's intended to do, you know. But, I mean, my God, how many do you guys have? Now, you guys probably have more than I do. Are you up to 15, 20? You know, where do you stop? or do you flush it all and just go, okay, I'll do everything on Google Plus?
Well, you know, for me, the biggest thing has been I've really relied on TweetDeck to pull in LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, and then you know, to really use it as an aggregation tool. I've tried others. I've tried Hootsuite. I've used NetVibes as a portal creator and put things in there and all that. And at the end of the day, TweetDeck is the one because I can sync it with my iPad and my iPhone. And I, you know, so I can just minimize how many places I have to pay attention to.
The thing and Twitter, that Twitter now owns TweetDeck, right?
Didn't they buy them?
Tim, they did.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Well, here's the one thing though. I remember going up and doing an offsite with a bunch of C-level execs up at Cragen's up in Brainerd, and the CEO gave me 20 minutes to talk about social media and what was going on, and you know, give them an overview and so on. And I said, hey, I can't turn around in 20 minutes, let alone cover something like that.
How
much time you have. And so after about an hour and 15 minutes, they gave me the boot and it was just really great. But here was the kicker. The kicker was every single one of them had exactly the same concern, which was that they're frankly afraid. They didn't use the word fear, but they're afraid of the disruption that they're not going to see.
And they're not going to what?
That they're not going to see, that they're not even going to be aware of, that there's, you know, some new meme that takes off and all of a sudden, you know, it's all about a new technology or whatever. And they're just not even aware. And the thing just flies by them. And in some ways, that's how I feel about social media is I'm trying to stay on top of everything and all these different, you know, blogging and podcasting and video and social connections and analytics and, you know, what's happening in the enterprise and what's happening with, you know, personal use and small to mid-sized business and yada, yada, yada. And my biggest concern is stuff's going to fly by me and I'm just not even going to be aware because I can't see it all.
Yep. Yeah, it's, you know, it's hard keeping up with all this stuff. I mean, it really is. And you know, when I go on to a service, and I mean, I try to really use it. I got a few out there that I've registered for and probably not even done a single post on, but you know, how do you keep up with, you know, Instagram and Foursquare and, you know, and on all of these things? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's just getting to the point where it's too much. And you know, that's why I never really jumped on to Google Plus. It's like, you know, I don't have time right now. I just don't, you know. And but, you know, obviously a lot of these are going to fall by the wayside. Many of them are yet acquired. They've already been acquired. I mean, look what happened when FriendFeed was the latest new shiny object.
Right. Right.
You know, and that got acquired by who? Google? Where did that one go? And then it kind of went away. I suppose
it went to Facebook. And they have done nothing with it.
Yeah. And I predict there's going to be a whole hell of a lot more of that going on, where they just acquire these new social network companies for the talent. And then, in fact, isn't the guy who's the lead developer or architect on Google Plus, isn't that Joe Smarr? Wasn't he the Plaxo guy at one time? Although Plaxo got acquired by Comcast, didn't it?
I can't keep track anymore.
I don't know how Smarr ended up at Google, but I read where he's kind of Larry Page's main dude on Google Plus.
Yeah.
And he's a smart guy. There's no doubt about it. And you know, I kind of liked Plaxo, but I don't use it really. I get people that want to connect with me on Plaxo. So,
okay, well, so let me just throw this out as just one last question, then we really should wrap. But because somebody asked me, and it really took me aback. How do we participate in all of these revolutionary new directions? And I said, well, what do you mean? This is a client of mine, and this is one of the product managers. I said, well, what do you mean? How do you participate? Well, okay, so there's tablets. How do we create and deliver content for that without having to build an app? So we got into this HTML5 discussion, and you can build stuff, you know, deliver it by a website and so on and so forth. Okay, that's really cool. Now, how do we participate in Google Plus? You know, how do we add value to that? Or how do we carve out value? And you know, I had retorts for just about everything, but when you really stand back and think about it, look at all this stuff going on, and we're just out here, you know, they're throwing the football, and we're just out here catching it with a lot of these technologies and a lot of these approaches versus what it used to be like when desktop publishing hit. It was like, oh my God, I can buy PageMaker and I can get a laser printer, and now I can learn how to actually do design and layout, and I can actually publish things professionally by using a service bureau. And one could argue that, yes, you can do that same sort of thing by creating your own, you know, Kindle ebook, or just use EPUB and create an ebook and so forth. But when you look at a lot of this stuff, how can you and how can your clients use it for their business and participate?
Yep. Yeah, that's the question, you know. I mean, you can idle away all kinds of time if you've got nothing but time as a consumer or an unemployed person or whatever. But, yeah, you know, but for the rest of us that are all trying to do business, you know, why would you do this? You know, I mean, why would you care? What is it going to do for you? And yeah, I've been asked to speak at one of those C-level groups, kind of a networking group, only about 10 or 12 guys, I think, about how they can use social media, because these are all guys that are sort of in between their next opportunity, you know. Yeah. What I mean? Yep. And it's like, you know, okay, and I'm sure they're going to have some pretty hard questions, you know. It's like, why would I do this, you know, and what the heck will it do for me, let alone what will it do for the company that I may work for, right. You know. So, yeah, it's, you know, we all as early adopters hear about all these new shiny objects coming out all the time, but there's a large part of the rest of the world that is extremely suspect of what, you know, why they would devote time to a lot of this, you know.
Well, Tim, what do you do with your client? I mean, do you sort of immerse yourself in it and then say, okay, well, this is right. So this is the one that I'm going to jump on. This is the horse I'm going to ride.
Yep.
Okay.
And right now it's Facebook.
Really?
Yep. Yep. Because I was going to say that you have to just be selective and use what works. And Facebook right now is the one that works. Twitter, to a certain extent, depends on your strategy, depends on how you work it. That can also drive a lot of traffic. But if we're talking conversion and we're talking, you know, relationship and engagement and all that stuff, right? Facebook is the only place where it's at right now. I think that Google Plus is a good, you know, good chance of becoming an interesting platform, particularly after Google adds AdWords to it and has brand pages and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm keeping track of that. But right now, it's all about Facebook. So if anyone asks, what should I do? It's like, you know, it's get a Facebook page. You know, there's some best practices on setting it up and, you know, and feeding it. And that's what you do.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's, you know, the thing that gets me about Facebook, though, is everybody keeps throwing around these huge numbers, 750 million. Or are they touting 800 million users now or something like that? That's international. I'm much more interested in what's going on in the U.S. as most of the clients that I have anything to do with are. And the number in the U.S. I've read it's only like 150 million or something. And the growth is actually slowing somewhat in the U.S. So, you know, this big number that everybody keeps throwing around worldwide, yeah, that's fine, you know, but remember, the U.S. is just a subset of that, a fraction of that, actually. The other thing I was going to call out is, did you see that HubSpot post where they went and looked at what likes do for a brand? And it was extremely disappointing. It's like the guy set out to do a study, you know, that social media scientist at HubSpot, Dan Zarella, and the results surprised him. To the negative. I mean, like, it really wasn't that great. I'll send you guys the link for the show notes on that.
Well, you know, the thing is in the B2B space, Facebook is not really that meaningful at all.
That's true. Yeah.
But in B2C, and especially for what you're doing, Tim, in the wine industry, you can see how it's just perfect. And frankly, it's easy to set up a page. It's easy to have something that's meaningful as long as you have admins that take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's great. Oh, what's coming up? What's coming up then in the next couple of weeks?
Well, did you guys see that nerdery event that's coming up? Maybe that's not till early August. When is that thing? That open house they're doing?
Might
be August the 3rd at 5 p.m. The Nerdery's Retro Summer Open House Extravaganza.
Wow.
And I think there's probably going to be a lot of people wearing crazy retro clothing at that. That'll be fun. But they've got a program planned on that. I think you can find it on Facebook. I'm sure you can. And also next week, the 20th, Paul DeBettings with his MN Recruiters organization is doing something called The Big Social.
I'm losing you, Graham.
At Pinstripes in Edina. And again, I don't know that's public. It might be by invitation only. I'm not sure, but I'll send the link. I mean, anybody who's in the recruiting business is certainly going to be interested in that. So those are a couple things that I'm aware of here in the next couple weeks.
Yep. The next WordPress users group meeting at the Nerdery is on the 28th of July. And Gravity Forms is going to be the the discussion. So that should be interesting.
That'll be a good one, because for those that haven't used Gravity Forms, they're awesome.
I don't even know what a gravity form is.
It's a plugin for WordPress that allows you to create forms, big deal, right? But you can also create conditional forms. So as you fill stuff out, other stuff can show up based on the input or based on the choices.
They also have good integration with third party through an API. Yeah. So you can integrate with FreshBooks and with MailChimp and a bunch of other third party services.
Very, very
flexible.
Yeah. And it's so worth, I bought a developer license and it's so worth it because it's really a great product. And then our pals at Coco MSP, they're launching the new Minneapolis location. There'll be a kickoff party on Saturday the 30th.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's because, did you get an invite? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. I was down. I've been hanging out there. I was down there a couple times, and the place is coming together. It's still not quite there, but there are people working there, and I had a good long chat with Don, and I'm excited about us Minovate guys getting to hang out there.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to also be doing 3 podcasts over the next 6 months down there as well. So that'll be great.
Yeah, I met his partner and I met the biz dev guy from the city of Minneapolis. And, they know all about us. And, okay, cool. Great.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, gentlemen, thank you.
You bet.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to the Minovate Gang podcast. And we'll see you next week.
Have a good one.
Stay cool.
Take care. Bye now. We'll be right back.